Thursday, 2nd of July, Yud Tammuz, Halacha in the Workplace, Part 2, Ribbis, Part A, Rabbi Yeshua Posen.
Morning. As you can see from the title, we're continuing with our series. The reason I picked the topic of Ribbis is first of all because those of you who are learning Daf Yomi should be very up-to-date with the Sugya. Feel free to prompt if I'm missing anything out. And the second reason is because Ribbis is probably the biggest pitfall in the workplace that seems to be more and more issues of Ribbis, shyas of Ribbis, and problems of Ribbis are cropping up on a daily basis. And therefore, the more one can make oneself aware to these issues, the more one realizes to try and look out from it. The point of this series is not to learn Hilchos Ribbis. To learn Hilchos Ribbis would take, you could devote Torah away to Hilchos Ribbis and do it for a number of years, and you'll be lucky if you come away with a clear kinyan of the halachos. But the point of Moria today is to, if we can open our eyes up a little bit to the kind of areas which till now we might not have realized might be problems, then once our eyes are really open, we might ourselves come across other areas and know to our shyness, which is itself would be a very good thing. And Nesivus in his Tzavo instructs all of his descendants that if they want to go and work, before they should go and work, they should make themselves clear, they should learn properly the Hilchos Ribbis. He picked out singly Halachos Ribbis because of this point that really comes up the whole time. We're just going to mention a few kind of areas in the workplace where issues of Ribbis come up, some of which you might be aware of, some of which you might not be aware of, but it's good to go through a few of them. And then I'd like to discuss this concept of limited companies. Does this affect Ribbis? Does it not affect the Issa of Ribbis? And then if we've got time, we'll start going through some of the actual issues. Otherwise, we'll do that in the next year. So just to mention a couple of areas of immediately come to light of Hilchos Ribbis. Number one, the most obvious, which is probably the most frequent problem, is a late payment clause in a contract. Somebody was telling me a week ago that he was dealing with a Jewish lawyer. A Yid was dealing with another Yid through a Yiddish lawyer. And the lawyer said to him, I'm not sure about this business. It was a tenancy. A person was renting a property for a certain business off a Yid. And the lawyer said to him, are you sure that the business you're doing is okay halachically, that there are no problems of Ribbis? Because I'm very, very makbit on Hilchos Ribbis, the lawyer told him. She said, yeah, no, I've checked it through, I've been to Rav, and I've checked and everything fine. But the lawyer then presents him with this lease contract. And in the lease contract, sure enough, there it is, late payment penalty, you have to pay interest if you don't pay your rent on time. This is from a lawyer who considers himself very au fait with Hilchos Ribbis. It's clear that in the workplace, when we have standard contracts and we pull them off our computer and send them out to different clients, sometimes one can make the mistake of not stopping to think, is there any difference in the fact that I'm dealing with a Yid and the fact that I'm dealing with a Goy? And let's preempt the usual comments which come out from such shurim by saying we're not in any way suggesting, oh, one's better off therefore not dealing with Yidin because one has all sorts of problems. Faket. You come across a situation where you're able to make sure you're not over on a lav, and you're able to make sure you're mekayim and asein, all different things. Faket, that's taka what's required from us. We don't shy from areas where we might have to keep halacha. One just has to know how to keep the halacha in those areas. So the number one point is a late payment clause. If a person has a late payment clause whereby if the person doesn't pay the rent on time, then he's going to have to pay the interest until he actually pays the rent. That's definitely a problem. We'll see later on ways how one can possibly try and come up with something that does work out the halacha, but the standard late payment clause which results in a person paying on a monthly rate interest on the rent which he hasn't yet paid is definitely awesome. Another area which really shows us how we've mentioned in the shiur we had a year ago, how very often the way we perceive an arrangement, especially when it comes to business arrangements, the way we perceive it might be very different from how halacha perceives it. And one particular area where this can arise is if you have a partner in a firm who takes out a personal loan for the benefit of the company. The company itself maybe can't get the loan, so one of the partners takes out a personal loan with personal liability, and he puts that money into the company, and the company obviously is going to pay the interest for the loan which he's done. So basically the way the Shutum look at it is, we've taken out a loan, rather only one of the partners has done it, only he's liable, and the partnership pays the interest. There are various areas in this, the various options in this setup where it can be a problem, and there's some areas where it can't be a problem, and Mitzvah will go through that in a later shiur. Apparently, when it comes to lease agreements, we all know that when it comes to lease agreements, it's standard that you ask for a deposit up front. Apparently, when it comes to commercial leases, it does happen that the landlord who's holding on to this safety and security deposit, if in a case, first of all, there are different ways how this deposit can be put. Sometimes it's put with the landlord, sometimes it's put with a lawyer, or it's put on trust. Apparently there's a new law coming out now regarding this deposit. In the cases where this deposit is deposited with the landlord, there are, it's apparently quite common in commercial rentals, that the landlord, when he repays this deposit at the end of the lease, pays it back with interest. And that's mamish glatt ribis deraisa. If you think about it for a minute what you're doing, you're giving 3 months rent or a year's rent, doesn't make a difference, you're giving it over to another yid. He is using that money, he's borrowing that money because he is liable for that money. If anything would go wrong with that money, he'd have to pay from his own pocket because he has been entrusted with that money.
He only gives you the interest which the bank pays him.
Exactly. That's true. But this is why I mentioned at the beginning. This is why we perceive it differently from halacha. Let me ask you a question. If I come to you and I borrow from you £1,000, right? I borrow from you £1,000 at 4%, right? I then take that £1,000 and put it in my bank. I make 4% for my bank, and I pass on that 4% to you. Is that okay, or is that not okay?
No, it's not okay, because it's got to be directly. But nevertheless, the bank is a goy.
Right, but the reason it's not okay is because the irrelevance of the bank being a goy, we have a private arrangement between me and you, whereby you have lent me money and I'm paying you interest. Which is ribis deraisa.
Yes, but in the case of a deposit, he's getting the interest from the bank,
So let me ask you a question. Who is liable for that money? Nowadays we can talk about things which years ago we'd say, and you'd say that's really hypothetical. But let's say the solicitor decided to deposit it in the bank of Iceland. Icelandic bank. So he puts it there and the bank goes. Finished. He's not getting his money. Does the solicitor have to pay from his other funds that deposit?
Sure.
Definitely. Yeah. Why? So what does that show you? That shows that really the solicitor has his own private arrangements whereby he has invested the money, whether it's in a bank, whether it's in shares, whether it's in his own pocket. It's irrelevant. The fact is that the solicitor has borrowed money from the client.
It's not high for the interest, only for the capital.
The principle's the same.
It's not high, but he's accepted to pay. Forget for a minute whether he's high. He's accepted to pay that interest.
The principle is a principle. If there is no interest because the bank's gone past, then he doesn't have to pay them.
Why? The agreement between him and the client has got nothing to do with what interest he can get from any bank he puts in. He has a private arrangement between him and the client. You give me this deposit and I'm going to pay back. First of all, I'm not talking about the solicitor either. I'm talking about the landlord. I'm talking about in the case where the money is put with the landlord, and I'm betting who are doing with the solicitor if the solicitor would not be putting it in account for the other person. If the solicitor is liable for that money, or the landlord is liable for that money, that means by definition he has borrowed that money. If he's borrowed that money, then it's also to pay it back with any interest. And if he fixed from the beginning to pay it back with interest, which he would be chayiv to pay it back with, that would be ribis deraisa. Moving on. Shares. Sometimes you can buy shares on a margin, which means that you go to a broker and you tell the broker, I'd like to buy £1,000 worth of shares. I'm only paying £100 and you should lay out the other £900. Right, this is quite common.
Very common.
Pardon? Very common. You pay out another £900. Then when the share gets sold, the broker takes the £900 off whatever the sale price is, it's irrelevant. He takes his £900 back, plus interest for the fact that he's laid out £900 for you. Again, mamish glatt ribis. If you're dealing with a Jewish brokerage firm, and that doesn't mean that they're shematerim, that means they're Jewish. If you're dealing with a Jewish brokerage firm, you've mamish got pomer ribis. Because Be'etzem, what you've done is, they've laid out money for you, and for that you're rewarding them by paying them interest. And another area which comes up the whole time, and is very complicated, is currency. Like those who are doing Dafayomi was already done a while ago, Sa Basal, the difference in the Gemara, Gemara in Azov, now he comes to Gemara in Ezer Neshech. Be'etzem, currency is perceived as the currency in the country where you are is called currency. Any other currency in the country where you are is seen as peris. It's seen as being an article. So therefore in England, for example, dollars or euro are considered peris. So any deal which you do with somebody in England and fix the price to pay them in euros or in dollars can have a problem. We're not going to go through the halachas now exactly when it is a problem, when it isn't a problem. Often with this particular area, you can remedy it very easily by having 1 euro or $1 in your pocket at the time, the person who's lending, so to speak. We'll go through most of those halachas, but these halachas come up the whole time, especially if people are dealing in different countries and pegging it according to different currencies, and but someone has to be aware of what one's doing and to make sure that taka everything's good.
In fact, in Israel, it's a quarter to $1.
And not anymore. Not anymore. Not anymore. Don't think so. There was a machlokes aposkim if in Eretz Yisrael a few years ago a dollar is considered the currency because there were many shops you could go in and buy with dollars. And forget, like you say, rent was pegged in dollars and many things were pegged up in dollars. So there was a machlokes aposkim, is dollars in Eretz Yisrael considered peri or tiva? But now that's all changed. You can't even pay rent in dollars anymore.
It's never paid in dollars.
Sure it's paid in dollars. No, it's paid in dollars. Yeah, I lived 10 years. Definitely paid in dollars. Fine. Now moving on. So this is just a taster of the kind of areas which we have the whole time. We don't necessarily stop to think about whether there is a problem or isn't a problem. Why is it that we don't think about whether there's a problem or not? I don't believe what some people say, that the person at home, so to speak, has his kapel on his head and he thinks about Shulchan Aruch, and the moment he gets to his office and his kapel's not on his head, if his kapel's not on his head, then all of a sudden he's forgotten about Shulchan Aruch. I don't believe that argument. Well, I think the reason is that when people get into the office and they're dealing with companies between companies and companies and the whole personal aspect is, so to speak, taking a step back, and people think when it comes to companies maybe they have heard a heads about companies, maybe they haven't. So the point I'd like to do today is to clarify exactly what the issue is regarding companies, and then when we are clear on what the stance is regarding companies, we'll be in a better position to carry on another shiur, seeing what areas that can now have problems or not problems. So first of all, when it comes to companies, there's two areas of a shaila. There's an area of a shaila globally legabe companies, that means legabe companies with regards to chomets, with regards to shabbos, with regards to ribbis and other areas. And then there's a specific shaila regarding ribbis. So first of all, when it comes to companies across the board, what is a company? Now, you've probably all heard this big machlekes. A poskim going back already to the 19th century, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch already started on this. Is a company a separate entity, or is the company a shutus? Now, a shutus, we have a group of partners, put together funds, and start up a company. Gerada, the government has entailed them where they have the option of making it a limited company, which means that the people who have a claim against them can't claim against their personal assets, they can only claim against the assets of the company. So that is the concept of a company which we're all familiar with. The shaila is, how does halacha perceive such an arrangement? So the shaila is, does halacha say, in the end of the day, it's a shutras. It's a shutras which has granted a restricted liability to certain assets. But for all intents and purposes, it's a regular partnership. Or, do we say, one minute, there's no such thing in halacha as saying, I'm not liable. Of course you're liable. How can it be that I have a fortune in the bank, and my Baal Chayiv can come to me and I can say, I'm sorry, all I've got in the company's bank account is £100, that's all you can take. And I then go off on my holiday. How does that make sense? In halacha, there's no such thing. Elamai, it must be that whoever it was that created companies created a whole new concept. It's a concept called company, which is this concept in the air. It's not me, and it's not you, and it's not the directors, not the shareholders. It's the company, right? This is a very, very good concept, very convenient, because you don't need to blame it. It's the company, right? So who's at fault? The company. We can blame everything on the company. So therefore, api halacha, maybe that means that even though normally you're not allowed to buy chometz from someone which was owned by a company, but chometz which was owned by a yid, and a yid is not allowed to own chometz, by a company. A company is not a person. So a company can own chometz. You can buy chometz off a company which is owned by Eden. You don't have a problem of Shabbos with the company that's owned by Eden. You don't have a problem of ribbis with the company that's owned by Eden. So that's the first ikar shaila when it comes to companies. On this, there's machlokes aposkim across the board, very heated machlokes. Halacha lemaisa, for what we need today, is that it's pretty much accepted, what we take on halacha is that a company is considered a shutvus if the majority shareholders are Yidden. And Rabbi Moshe Feinstein has an extra angle, and he says, even if it's not a majority shareholders who are Yidden, but if there's a minority Jewish shareholders, but they run the company, and I don't mean that they're just paid as a manager to run the company. They are literally the person making the decisions in the company. And granted there are some silent partners who might be majority shareholders, that itself is still enough to make it called. If it's a controlling interest in the company, that itself is enough to consider it as a Jewish company. So that's Legabe company regarding the greater Shaila of company. Then when it comes to Ribbis, there's a specific Ribbis angle on this Shaila of companies. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein in Igros Moshe Chelik Beis Simon Samach Gimel, which we have here in front of us, has a psak. It was actually written, as you can see, 30 plus years ago to Rishua Freshwater, Shlomo Freshwater's father here in London. So it's a tailor-made psak to London, although a couple of times in the Tshuva he writes, I don't know if it's the same in London as it is in America, but if it is, etc. He has a Tshuva which, just before you see it inside, is often misquoted and often misapplied. So it's very important that we understand this tshuva very clearly. Then we'll see if we even paskin like the kula. But before we go into whether we paskin like the kula, let's be clear on the limitations of Rav Moshe's kula. Rav Moshe came along and said a chiddush. He said, in halacha we have a concept called halva, a loan. And the basics of a loan is that when I lend Reuven money, he has what's called a shibut haguf. He is indebted to me. He personally is liable to pay me back the money I've lent him. That personal liability then causes what's called shibut nechosim. His assets also become liable. So his assets, so to speak, the way he puts it, are like arevim. They're like guarantors for the loan which I'm lending him. I lend him the money. If he can't pay me, so to speak, from his pocket, then I'll go to his assets. And from here we have this whole concept of shibut nechosim, even if he sells on his property, since they're, so to speak, like I've got a charge, I've got a lien on them, and therefore I can go back for those properties, assuming that I have a proper shtar, proper contract on the loan. Fine. So that's Rav Moshe. What happens if you have a situation where there is no shibut haguf? There's no shibut haguf, there's no personal liability on a person. That means that he's got no personal obligation to pay. Normally, because the lover, the person who borrows, has a personal liability, he has a mitzvah to pay to such an extent that if he doesn't pay back the choiv, we say, lover rosh of lo yishalim, he's a rosher, he borrowed money, didn't pay it back. Says Rav Moshe, if you try and take out of the equation these two fundamental points, number one, the shibud haguf, if you say there's no personal liability on the lover, number two, therefore there's no personal obligation on him to pay back the money, then the whole halva falls apart. That's not called halva. That is the basics of a halva. Halva means I lent him, he's meshubah to me, he's chayav to pay me the money. If he's not meshubah to me, he's not chayav to pay me the money, the whole thing disappears. So therefore Moshe comes on with a massive chiddush and says, when it comes to Hilchos Ribbis, because this is specifically Davi Halva, since the definition of a company is that there's limited liability, that means that the partners of the company are not personally liable to the loan. So in a case where the partners are not personally liable to the loan, and they therefore have no personal obligation to repay the loan, that's not halva. And therefore there's no issa of ribis in such a case. And let's be very, very clear. The heta of a Moshe is only and specifically when the company is borrowing the money. Because since the company is borrowing the money and the company doesn't have any liability, that's not a chayv. But what happens in a case where I, as an individual, or as a company, but with personal liability as well, borrow money from a company? So the obvious example is you have a Jewish bank, and I borrow money from the Jewish bank, and even if I'm a company, but they make me sign as well personal liability on the loan, then the Moshe writes very, very clearly, this whole letter's out the window. Because in the end of the day, there is a shibud haguf. I personally am liable to the bank. So the fact that the bank is a company is neither here nor there. The whole Rav Moshe doesn't agree with those who hold that a company is this concept in the sky. No, a company is a shutvus. But since there's no personal liability, if the company is borrowing, Rav Moshe holds, the company is borrowing, there's no shibud haguf. No shibud haguf, there's no choiv.
Limited company can borrow money on ribs?
Pardon?
Limited company can borrow money on ribs?
Rav Moshe holds. Again, we're going to come to whether we hold this or not. But let's be clear on the Hetzer interest.
Yeah.
Rav Moshe holds that a limited company who borrows without any personal liability, and I was restricted to the assets of the company, there's no issur ribs. That's Rav Moshe's chiddush. So let's see very quickly inside Rav Moshe, just to get clear on how he says it, and then Mr. Hashem will see whether we talk to passing like this Rav Moshe. But it's kedai, even if we don't passing like Rav Moshe, first of all, in America there are some who do passing like Rav Moshe, and second of all, sometimes some places who use Rav Moshe as a sniff to attach if there are other factors in favor. There's lots to talk about, but first one has to be clear on Rav Moshe. So I've jumped here in the middle of the tshuva, on the top of the page. This is the normal halva in the Torah. B'chol makom shu oisa chiyuv al guf haloiver sheyeshalim. Well, it's totally klalim yeshlim iman leshalim, but ain't leshalim. So normal halva means a person borrows money and he has to repay it. And then we say, does he have what to repay or not? Imrei iman leshalim, ain't leshalim. Nasalav chiyuv zev nikar rosha kasheid mekayim chiyuv. Then there's a chiyuv on him. There's an obligation to repay the loan. If he doesn't repay the loan, he's called a rosha. Who shibut aguf? Shiyesh al aloyva shizeu ha'ikar. This is the main point of a chayv. The shibut on the chosin bom is that the fact that his estate is liable comes from the fact that he personally is liable. It goes through him to his assets. The ayin baran, so we can jump at this part here. He brings a raya from the fact that if a person is owed money and he sells on the debt to a second party. So someone owes me £100,000. I sell on this debt to a third party, and then I turn around and I meichel the debt. I meichel the debt. So does that work or does it not work? Do we say that I can be meichel? Do we say if I've sold on the debt, it's not mine to be meichel? Right? So the halacha is the mechila works. Why does mechila work? Because ultimately, the shibut haguf, which means that he is indebted to me personally, is a factor which cannot change. There's a shibut, he owes me, And I'm owed by him. I can't sell the shibut aguf. I can sell the fact that since he owes me and he's going to pay me the money, I would have to pass on that money to somebody else. But the fact that he owes me the money is non-transferable. So therefore, if I make it that he no longer owes me the money, then in other words, I'm meichel the debt, then the chayv disappears. Whether he will then have a claim on me for damage the money which is coming to him is a separate shayla. But it works. The mechila works. So Moshe says, you see from here, that shibut is an integral part of a chayv. If you jump to where it's underlined, Harim Afurish, Shem Milva, who Dovosh Hamachayev is Haguf Lifreya. A Chayev is something which obligates the person himself to personally be liable to pay. When we made him near, therefore it seems, Sherak Bistam Milva, Shoyis Echiu Tashlumin Ala Loiva, only by the standard loan which puts a personal obligation on the person borrowing, Nesra Batura Milikach Rivis. The Torah, only then does the Torah say it's also to take Rivis. Aval Milva kuzu, such a debt, she'eno is a shum chiyuv al guf ha'odom neshalim, puts no personal liability on the person at all to pay up. She'af she'esh le'mam en harbe, even if he's a very wealthy man, ein al guf ha'yishum chiyuv neshalim, there's no personal obligation on him to pay. Ve'leko alav ha'aseidet ha'shlumin, there's no mitzvah ha'aseh on him to pay back. Ve'lo yiyeh rosha k'shelo yishalim, and he won't even be called a rosha when he doesn't pay back. In such a case, ribis was never said. Bechenu inin a bank, shemdino senu ba America, sheguf habayim shel a bank, einu mochiyovin klum leilu shenichum loisein ba bank. If you put your money in the bank, as has become quite clear, the owners of the bank themselves, personally, can be very wealthy people, but if the assets of the bank disappear, they're not hired to pay a penny. Afim yizdam shloye ba bank, mois lesham. Shlechein leke iser ribis afka shabank u'shel Yisrael, even if it's a Jewish bank. For im gam belongen hukein, if in London the situation is the same, in other words, if the way limited liability works is also that the partners are not personally liable, then leke iser ribis amasha company, the insurance, shlechem, that is what the shayla was regarding, noisim ribis elu shalokhu insurance, shlechem avu amosh nosim lezeh. Fine, so this is very clear. In a case where a company is borrowing money and there's no personal liability on the owners of the company, there's no ribis according to Moshe. It says to Moshe, Aval, Tamze einu moy lahate lilvois me'a bank, kishu shel Yisraelim. This heta doesn't work at all when you want to borrow from a bank which is owned by Yidin. Ima loivu hu ish proti, shiyesh lo shibut aguf, If the person borrowing the money is an individual who is personally liable, he'll have a mitzvah to pay it back. Company, even if the individual is a company, he's not an individual. In my bank, Hamalva rates a dafka shagam balance our company out when he's chayv machma sheizik a company local kapotzua, which is becoming more and more common. If the bank wants a personal liability from the owners of the company because the company's assets themselves might not be so secure, then it's a problem. Avol again, the halvois the companies if you have stam shebepor mitinasenu sheina banim chiyoben laatzon leshalim leke isribis im gam belondon ukein teichu the halvois my company. So he says that again to reiterate, it's very very clear. The whole heter of Moshe is specifically when the company is borrowing, when the company is lending. There's no heter from Moshe at all. And if you jump to the left hand column, the second paragraph. It says, when belonging like in and zed companies, if in London the way it works is that the partners are passing liable, Harry Leke Heta Ze, there's no heta at all, but it's Starchilasis in Yisraelim Heta Iska in Kol Yochid Vyochid. Then one will have to write a separate personal Heta Iska with every Jewish individual that you do business with. But Lahas will have in Heta Iska, and not just to write it, to explain to them what they're writing. Actually Tay Lahasik Lel, even though it's not so Gishmak and easy to do that. Fine. So what Moshe has come out with is very, very clear. In the case of companies, so for example, if we mention, go back for a minute to the cases we were discussing before. Let's say the rental case, right? So if you're renting out a property and you tell the person that there's a late payment clause in the rent. So if you're renting to a company, so you're charging them interest, according to Moshe, it will be okay as long as there's no personal liability. But if you're renting to an individual, the fact that you yourself are a company doesn't help the club, because you're lending to an individual and he personally is liable, and therefore even Moshe won't have a heter at all.
Can I just ask you, are you saying a late payment clause is ribbis?
I'm saying a late payment clause in rental is ribbis.
What about in purchase?
Purchase is different. We'll come on to purchase. Purchase is different because, as the legal experts will tell you, there's a very big debate as to who actually, what actually is an exchange. So if you're talking about a late fee on an exchange, that's a machlokes. Because
is it just a knas?
No, well, we'll come on to late payments. What is the difference between a knas and what's the difference between interest? A knas is only when it's one-off. If you're charging more than once for the fact that the money hasn't been paid, that's already perceived as being ribbis. But again, but when it comes to exchange, that depends on what is an exchange. If an exchange means that the person now already owns the house, you've already sold in the house, which means he really already owes you the money for the rest of the house. So then, if he fails to give you the money on the agreed date, if you start charging him, that's like a ribbis. But if you say an exchange is he doesn't own the house, it still belongs to the person selling it, so he doesn't actually owe you money al pi hilchas halvor, just he's agreed to give you money and he hasn't yet given you money. That can't be ribbis. So let's leave that for the moment.
If the malva is a limited company,
then there's no heter whatsoever.
Yeah, but if there's no personal liability,
doesn't make a difference.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, if he's lending to an individual, then the individual is personally liable to the company.
Yeah, to the company.
That doesn't matter. Moshe says, we just read that in the Moshe. Moshe says that very, very clearly. That personal liability is only a heter if it means that there's no shibud aguf on the loiva. When there's a shibud aguf on the loiva, it doesn't make a difference who he's meshubud to. You can be meshubud to a kehila, to a shul, to a company. It doesn't make a difference.
A company can be like a goy. You can take from a goy.
No, again, we mentioned at the beginning, we're talking specifically about companies which are called Jewish companies, whether that's because they've got majority shareholders,
Yeah, but it's not personal liability.
They don't need personal
liability. No,
but Moshe, that's what I'm telling you. Moshe, we said at the beginning, we don't pass him like that. We don't pass him that a company is this concept which is mufka from kolatzeri kula. But Moshe said, even though we don't pass like that, which is clear Moshe doesn't, because that exactly as you're pointing out, he holds that when the malva is a company and the loiva is an individual, there is a problem with ribbis, so it's clear he doesn't pass like those shittas. Nevertheless, the Gabi Hilchus ribbis, he's got a special halacha that ribbis is dependent on a halvor, and a loan, by definition, needs there to be personal liability. Needs there to be shittas. Okay, just for one second, I'm running out of time. I'll take questions afterwards. Halacha lemaisa, how do we pass him? The Maisa, most poskim nowadays argue with the Moshe. The Michasitzok already argued, Rishon Zalman argues, Chalkis Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov Bloy, who's the leading expert on, he wrote Bris Yehuda, the Sefer on Ribbis, also argues. In America, there are some poskim who will rely on Reb Moshe if we're dealing with a Ribbis Drabonon. There's some possibly even by Ribbis Deraisa and some not at all in England, but there are, as far as I'm aware, I don't know anyone who relies on Reb Moshe, but that it's worth knowing that even some of those who are cholik with Reb Moshe hold this patent, so to speak, this advantage of the lender, of the borrower being a limited company, is at least enough to make it downgraded from Ribbis Deraisa to Ribbis Drabonon. That seems to be pshat in the way Minchas Yitzchak learns, Nechafes Yaakov learns. And if that's so, then once it's ready Ribbis Drabonon, then the Rabbonim who pass in Yishailas will have more to work with, because there are other areas where we're more maker with other Snifim than with Ribbis Deraisa. But upon him, the bottom line is, one should definitely not, we here in England, it's definitely accepted across the board, we do not rely on Reb Moshe. But even were one to rely on Reb Moshe, then Reb Moshe's heter is only in the case where the company is borrowing the money, but in the case that a person is lending money to an individual or to a company who is personally liable, then there's no heter whatsoever, which increases the need for us to be aware of what areas, what shilas one has in Ribbis. And Mr. Shem will continue with that in the next show.